12. Looking at a very solemn message tonight, and a very serious message tonight. Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 4. The Lord Jesus is speaking. He said, "And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you, whom ye shall fear. Fear him, which after he hath killed, hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." Turn with me to Mark's Gospel, chapter 9. Mark's Gospel, chapter 9. Verse 43. "And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet, and to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes, and be cast into hell fire." I'm sure the Lord will bless to our hearts the reading of His holy, precious word. Tonight, we're going to be looking at the subject of Christ's teaching on future judgment and hell. You might be quick to say to me, "Well, Freddie, I believe after death it ends it all." It doesn't matter what you believe. The bottom line is what God says. He will have a last word. Remember, He told the story of a rich man in hell. It says, "And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment. That rich man then begs for mercy, but it's too late. Because mercy is only granted to those who ask for it in time, not after death." And you know the story well, how the rich man begs for one, as a fact, he just begs not for one drop of water. He just begs that Lazarus will just dip the tip, just the tip of his finger in water and cool his tongue. But you see, he didn't get that request granted, because no requests are granted in hell. Only requests are granted in this life. And that rich man is wanting that tongue to be cooled even tonight, and will want it throughout the countless ages of eternity. Friends, I say that to say this. You don't want to go to that place. It's awful. And God, in His Word, has made it clear of how we could escape that place. And we'll see that in the message tonight. And not go to that place, but be able to go and spend eternity in heaven. Folks, hell is real. A young girl said to her father, as she was dying, "Daddy, why didn't you tell me there was such a place?" "What place?" said her daddy. "Hell." "Oh, my dear," he said, "there's not such a place. God wouldn't punish anyone. God is merciful. There's not such a place." And that girl said, "Daddy, I know better, because I'm slipping into it at this moment." And she went out into eternity, lost forever. Folks, there is a hell. Even the atheists will tell you, when it comes to the point of dying, they acknowledge it. Mr. Rich, well-known atheist, as he was dying, he said, "I would rather be put over a stove and boiled for a million years than to go to hell. I could feel its torment even now." Folks, it's real. Even the atheists will attest to it. Tonight, I want to look at the certainty of God's judgment and hell. Then we want to look at the description of it. Then the duration of it. Then the cost for it. But then the good news, the escape from it. First, the certainty of God's judgment and the certainty of hell. I say it is certain because the word of God attests to it. Listen at what Psalms 9:17 says. The wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. Folks, that doesn't, hell here does not mean the grave. The context demands that it means hell itself. The fate of everyone that rejects Christ. Listen at what Job 36:18 says. Because there is wrath, beware, be ready, lest he take thee away with his stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. Friend, tonight, heed the warning. Heed the warning. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. Heed the warning tonight. If you hear and don't know Christ, don't leave this chapel tonight without knowing that you are Christian. It's a fearful thing to fall into his hands. God will punish you. You might say, well, I don't know if it's real. Listen. Listen at what God's word says. God's words attesting that there is judgment after death. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after death, judgment. It was Mr. Finney who tells the story that one morning, as he was finishing law school, he felt the Spirit of God was speaking to him. And he said, Mr. Finney, what are you going to do when you finish law school? He said, well, of course, I'm going to practice law. But then what, Mr. Finney? Well, perhaps I'll get rich. But then what, Mr. Finney? Well, I hope to retire. But then what, Mr. Finney? He says, perhaps I'll die. But then what, Mr. Finney? Mr. Finney says he shook in his shoes and he answered softly to himself, the judgment! Folks, you could trust God's word. After death, there's judgment. There's judgment. Thessalonians 8:9 says the Lord Jesus is coming in a flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of Christ. Verse 9 says, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Folks, he's coming back next time as a powerful judge. And he comes to destroy those who do not know God or love God or have rejected his son. See, God does not punish sin. A God that does not punish sin is not a God that would be holy. God must punish sin. Revelation 20:15. Listen at these words. Serious words. I'm proving tonight that there is judgment. There is hell. And whosoever was not found written in the Lamb's book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Folks, that's real. Whosoever, no person at the great white throne ever escapes God's judgment. It's only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Is your name written there? Is your name written there tonight? It could be written there. If you would just simply, right now, right where you're seated, say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I believe you died for my sin. I now receive you as my Savior. Folks, you could receive it right now and know that you will not pass through judgment or ever have to go to hell. God. We'll see that at the end of the message. But not only does the Word of God attest to it, the Word of Christ attests to it. 10 different times the Lord Jesus mentions the word hell in Scripture. And think of it, who speaks? The judge of all the earth. He's the one you're going to have to deal with. And he's the one warning you about hell. Matthew 12, 41, 42 says, all who have done iniquity will be cast into a furnace of fire, and there shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. How sad. The Lord Jesus, speaking to the self-righteous Pharisees, said, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how shall you escape the damnation of hell? Folks, there's no escape. There's no escape. Matthew 25, 41, the Lord says, I will say to you in that day, if you reject me as your Savior, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. The Lord Jesus Christ attests to it that there is judgment and there is a hell after death. Listen, folks, Christ never lied. He cannot lie. He didn't deceive. He didn't try to frighten people. He spake as God. And he warned man of that day to come. Thirdly, Christ's sufferings attest to it. Folks, do you think that God would have let his son go through all the suffering from the hands of men? And do you think that he would have punished him if there was not a judgment or a hell to shun? No, never, never. But God knew that sin would have to be punished and there would be judgment and there would be hell for eternity. And the Lord Jesus Christ died to save from hell, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, should not go to hell, but have everlasting life. He lives to deliver from that place. We sometimes sing that hymn, sinner, whither will you wander? Whither will you stray? Oh, remember, life is slender, folks. 'Tis but a short day. Death is coming, and the judgment day. Hasten, sinner, seek the narrow way. Listen to the invitation. Whilst these crying come, if you miss his great salvation, hell will be your doom. Oh, friend, tonight, don't miss it. You don't want to go to that awful, awful place. Secondly, the description of it, hell. Listen at Matthew 8 and 12. Cast into outer darkness, weeping, gnashing of teeth. Matthew 13, 42, a furnace of fire. Weeping. Folks, I can't stand the person weeping and crying. It tears me apart. But you are in hell. You will hear millions of people weeping. It's too late. It's too late. Get me out of this place. And friends, you'll hear that for not one night or one week. Forever and ever and ever. People wailing and gnashing their teeth for pain. But it's too late. It's too late. Oh, that I had been saved when I had the chance. I think there'd be many a soul in hell crying out. Oh, that I would have accepted Christ. Oh, the memory that's active there. Awful place. Remember the rich man? He had his memory clear. And he wanted Abraham to send Lazarus back and preach this five brethren. Friends, it's awful. You don't even want your enemies there. The misery of hell, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Friends, that shows that it's eternal. That's forever for those who reject the Savior. Oh, the description of that place says, when ye shall see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the prophets, and ye yourselves cast out. When you see that, says there'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Folks, I believe, and I cannot tell you from the authority of God's word, but I believe, according to that passage, you might be able to see the Christian on the other side. When you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, you just might. And what more greater pain that will be to see them enjoying heaven, your loved ones there, and you in torment, not even a drop of water, and there's rivers of it there in heaven. How sad. How sad to go from Spanish Wells to that awful place. Oh, friend, tonight, heed the warning. Turn from your sin. Turn to the Savior before it's too late. Gnashing of teeth. Fire. How solemn. How solemn. A companion of a newly converted Christian asked his friend, can you tell me where hell is? His friend hesitated for a moment, says, yes, it is the end of a Christless life. Friends, that's where hell is. That's where you're going to find it if you go out of this life rejecting Jesus Christ at the end of a Christless life. Oh, friend, be kind to your soul tonight. Be kind to your soul and the duration of it. Not going to spend much time here. Everlasting. Everlasting fire. Cast into it. Eternal. No end. How solemn. How solemn. Mark 3:29 says it's eternal damnation for those who reject the Spirit's pleading. Listen at what Jude says in verse 7. It says, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire, the same word that describes the lifetime of God and the duration of His glories, denotes the duration of punishment. The goal fixed. Folks, there's no way out of this place. It's a great goal fixed. There's no doors to get out. You'll never see an exit sign. It's not I don't like it and I'll just go somewhere else, folks. You're stuck. You're there. And no escape. Oh, friends, heed the warning tonight. But then the cause of it. The cause of it is sin, isn't it? That's why that had to be a place called hell. And there had to be judgment. Because nothing that defileth can enter heaven. You might say to me tonight, what is sin? Some people call it an accident. But God calls it an abomination. Men calls it chance. God calls it choice. Listen, folks. If you're sinning tonight, it's not by chance. You're doing it because you want to do it. Man calls it a fascination. God calls it a fatality. Man calls it infirmity, but God calls it an iniquity. Man calls it a trifle, but God calls it a tragedy. Man calls it a mistake, but God calls it madness. Sin is the cause of God's judgment and hell. Listen at what Matthew 12:36 says, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account of in the day of judgment. Folks, listen, God's got it all down in record. You think the computer system we have today is great? It's nothing. God's got every single word you've spoken on record. And he will open it up to you in a moment of time. And you'll see it. Probably will even play it to you. And your own words will condemn you. The words that you speak will be an accurate gauge in that day. They will either save you or they'll condemn you, depending on what you've done with Jesus Christ. Scripture says, by your words, you shall be justified. And by your words, you will be condemned. Every man, Deuteronomy 24:16, shall be put to death for his own sin. Not for your brothers, not for your sisters, your sin. Personal responsibility. Scripture says the soul that sinneth shall die. The cause of it is sin. Rejection of Jesus Christ is the damning sin. Friend, you won't go to hell for drinking. You won't go to hell for smoking pot. You're going to go to hell for rejecting Jesus Christ. And if you, that's the damning sin. That's the sin. It says, he that believeth shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. That's the damning sin. He that believeth on him is not condemned. That's simple language. But he that believeth not is condemned already. God makes it plain. A child can understand that. If you believe, you're not condemned. If you don't believe, you're condemned already. Because you have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. All you're waiting is for the execution of the sentence tonight. The Lord says, and you will not come to me that you might have life. I say therefore unto you, if you believe not that I am, you shall die in your sins. Folks, there is no other alternative. No other way. Only to believe. Peter said, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Folks, the end is judgment. It's judgment. But finally, the escape from it as we close. Only one way, folks. Only one way. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, I am that way. The truth and the life. No man can get to the Father. No man can get to heaven only through me. That's simple tonight. You know that. Just a reminder. But you know, there's a way that seems right unto a man. Man's got his own way of working it out, doing good works or some other way. God says that way will end in death. If you go any other way but God's way, there's no way to heaven, folks. The Lord said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. The last time I spoke here in the gospel, I remember saying there are many kinds of doors. Open doors, shut doors, glass doors, revolving doors, plain doors. Every home has one. And to enter the home, you must go through the door. Friends, the Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the door. And to enter heaven, you must go through that door. The Lord Jesus. There's no other way in to heaven but through him. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, I will enter. I will and open the door. I will come in. Folks, I ask tonight, as we bring the message to a close, are you willing to open that door tonight and let the Lord Jesus Christ in? Or tonight you're going to say, no, not tonight. I'll take a gamble on my soul. I'll take a gamble in going out and spending eternity in hell and facing God's judgment. Are you going to go out that door saying that tonight? Does your soul mean anything to you tonight? The Lord said, if you will let him in, he'll come in tonight. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, everlasting life. It was John Newton who said, when I get to heaven, I shall see three wonders. There, the first wonder will be to see many people I didn't expect to see there. But he said the second wonder will be, I'll miss many people who I thought was going to be there. He said, but the third wonder will be, and the greatest of all, that I myself will be there. Folks, I'm going to be there. Are you going to be there? You going to be there? It's only through faith in Jesus Christ. I close with this story tonight. As I read this story today, and I've come across it some years ago, my heart was moved again. The Duke of Windsor, then the Prince of Wales, many years ago, visited London and asked to see all the soldiers that were in the First World War that had been almost lost their life, had been in terrible condition. And he went, as the doctor showed him around, he asked the doctor, how many of these men, soldiers, do you have here in this condition? He said, 36 in all. Says, I understand that are some of the most badly wounded soldiers in all of Great Britain. He says, yes, there is. So he took him into a ward where 30 men laid. And the prince went round to each one and tried to give them words of hope and cheer, asked about their families and their wives, and tried to encourage them. And the doctor went to lead the prince out. He said, no, you told me there was 36. Where are the other six? Could I see them? I must see them. He said, well, Your Highness, we didn't want to take you to see these six badly wounded men. We wanted to spare you the pain. I must see them. And the doctor led him into the room where five of these men lay. Some were blind. Some had lost a limb. Terrible condition. He bent down and tried to give them words of cheer and hope and comfort. And then he said to the doctor, where is the 36th person? I must see him. He warned the prince. The prince said, I must see him. When he went into that room, there was a young man who was a handsome young man before he went to war. He's blind. He has no arms. He has no legs. It got to the prince's heart, and he bent down and he kissed him on his forehead. As he lifted his head up, the tears were streaming down his face. He said to the doctor, wounded for me. Wounded for me. Folks, I want to tell you tonight about one who was wounded more than that man. The scripture says he was marred more than any man. And that's my Savior. Your Savior wants to be your Savior tonight. Look at him on that cross tonight. A crown of thorns. The beard has been plucked from his cheeks. His back's been riven to threads. He's not even recognizable as a person. But he's there for not any crime he's done. He was wounded for me. He was wounded for you and you and you. Will you go out here tonight refusing him? Or will you receive him? I trust you'll receive him tonight. Let us pray. Folks, why are we here bowed in the solemnness of this meeting? Christians praying. I don't really know what's in this auditorium tonight. I've been so burdened today about this message. Folks, if you're here tonight and you don't know Christ, why not right where you're seated right now? Why are we quiet? There's a way of escape from it. The Lord Jesus bore it on the cross. All your sin, he wants to save you tonight. Right there, right now. Why don't you acknowledge to him that you're sinned? Why don't you tell him you're willing to turn from your sin and trust him tonight? right now. Do it and then tell us about it after the meeting. Father, we realize tonight it's not by might. It's not by power. But by your Spirit. And we pray that your Holy Spirit tonight will continue to work in some heart here. If it's one here who has never been saved, oh God, we pray that you will not let them even leave this meeting tonight till they know Jesus Christ is their Savior. Part us with your blessing as we give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing one verse of 245. 245 in the redemption song. First verse in the chorus and the meeting's going to be over. If you are tired of the load of your sin, let Jesus come into your heart. If you desire a new life to begin, let Jesus come into your heart. Just now your doubtings give o'er. Just now, friends, reject him no more. Just now, throw open the door. Let Jesus come into your heart. Brother Roddy will be over at the office. Other brethren will be here. I'm here. I don't mind spending an entire night if it takes that to point you to the Savior. But folks, don't leave tonight until you know. Saints, go out quietly. I realize it's been solemn tonight. Do the greeting outside. Maybe the Lord, the Spirit of God is speaking to someone. First verse and the chorus and the meeting will be over.